you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders. If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I am the most consistent motherfucker you know, Dave Smith, the libertarian Tupac. He is the king of the cocks, Robbie the Fire Bernstein. Whoo, it's an interesting 24 hours. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, and they're coming after you. It's the whole internet.
They are coming after me, guy who was on Joe Rogan's podcast. I got named in a couple of the articles, but most of them it's really not. I'm not really the primary focus, which is fine.
Just so fun though, kicking some shit where you're actually brought up on like news. Like I saw Brian Williams talking about it. It's just so fun.
It's a little bizarre. And I've been, you know, I've been on a lot of platforms, you know, and including Rogan's many times, you know, but this was different. Well, let me answer that for anybody out there who was speculating or maybe even was convinced that since going to Spotify, Joe Rogan does not still have the influence that he once did. Let me assure you, you are wrong. I can assure you that guy is as huge, if not bigger than ever, which in itself is really fascinating that he was able to pull this off. Before the last day where this thing was trending, I got a bigger response from this episode than I've ever gotten from one of his episodes. And I've done it many times. This was my sixth time on the podcast. This was by far the biggest response. And then of course, you know, what happened over the last day was pretty interesting. So for those of you who didn't see it, one clip went viral and was trending and got a lot of people upset. And it's funny because, you know, from my perspective doing the show, it's a few days ago now that I did the show, and we talk for over 3 hours, cover a ton of like really important, you know, topics, and all of that now, you know, it's like it gets reduced down to this like 2 minute clip that they found, and from my perspective, even doing it, like, you don't, you know, it's just like if you imagine if you just had like a 3 hour phone conversation with your friend and they were like, well, remember this 30 seconds where this was said? And you're like, no, I don't exactly. I don't remember exactly what was said. So then you see it back and you're like, dude, if you had asked me right after the podcast, name that, like, something about this is going to go viral and be trending and they're going to be coming for Joe Rogan and you over this thing. What you have 25 guesses. What was it that was said that's going to get everyone upset? I don't think this would have been on my list. It was just such a non-event. It seemed like something so uncontroversial to me. So it was kind of weird. That's just like my perspective on when I saw it. And you're like, oh, really? That's the thing they're jumping on? But then in hindsight, you're like, oh, yeah, no, it does. It does kind of make sense. This is really in line with a lot of stuff that we've been talking about. You know, I've talked a lot over this last year, and I spoke about this with Joe on the show, that there has been this new era of tech censorship and hypersensitivity to anything that goes against the official COVID narrative. And I guess we went against that in just this latest iteration of what the COVID narrative is. But this was, if you remember back with our old, you know, now gone and deceased Facebook group for the show, that this was the thing that started happening. Now, we had, for years in this Facebook group, we had, had wildly controversial things said in the group. I mean, that's what it is. It's a private group for a radical political podcast. And there were left-wingers and right-wingers. There were a lot of radical libertarians. Every issue under the sun that is controversial was discussed. But it was all of a sudden in 2020 that I started getting, and probably you and Brian, because I think we were all moderators of the group, started getting every day little notifications from Facebook. This has been flagged. This has been removed. This was fake news. And it was all over the COVID shit. And to be completely honest about it, right, some of the stuff was fake news. Like, there were just different theories that were coming up that people would post, and some of them turned out to be inaccurate. But if we're being fair and honest about this, so was a lot of the stuff on CNN, right? Like, so was a lot of the stuff that was being put out there. And some of it was actually completely accurate, and accurate at the time when it really mattered, and would be taken down. There were, I still remember, you know, pretty vividly seeing this video, which this may have been back in, like, I want to say like April, maybe May. I can't exactly remember, but it was in 2020 when there was a video of this doctor saying these ventilators are killing people. Now, that was conspiracy at the time. At the time, Andrew Cuomo was up there demanding more ventilators, and Donald Trump won't get us enough ventilators, and all this. And this guy was right. This guy was absolutely right. And there were lots of examples like that. But this is where they really started censoring any of the COVID stuff. And then ultimately the group got sucked. We got kicked off Facebook. But so it's just interesting that there's such a reaction against anybody who challenges the official COVID dogma. And I guess that's what we stepped in.
All hands on deck. They need everyone contributing to the cause of making sure people are afraid for their lives and getting vaccinated.
Yeah. It was pretty wild. So it's gone crazy, super fucking viral. Like, it's been in tons of different, you know, articles all over cable news on both sides of it. I was, Tucker Carlson played it last night. I was thinking this might, oh, look, I'm going to get on Tucker. Cut me out right there, bastard. Oh, you just want to focus on the Joe Rogan part of the story? I mean, okay, sure. I guess that's what people are talking about. But what about that other dude in that sweet-ass bomber jacket? That guy was making some good points. So anyway, it's been...
Was fucking... Tucker getting Rogan's back on that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nice. Completely had his back, which was great. But anyway, I'm just... You know what? Let's just play the clip, and then we can discuss it. But let's play the clip that's going viral. And this is what was considered such a controversial statement by Joe Rogan and his handsome guest.
Safe to get vaccinated. I've said, yeah, I think for the most part, it's safe to get vaccinated. I do. But if you're like 21 years old and you say to me, should I get vaccinated? I go, no.
Yeah.
Are you healthy? Are you a healthy person? Like, look, don't do anything stupid, but you should take care of yourself. You should, if you're a healthy person and you're exercising all the time and you're young and you're eating well, and like, I don't think you need to worry about this.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you.
But there's a lot of jobs that will tell you you need to have this.
Well, that's what's starting to happen now.
People are worried about them doing it for their children. And we talked about this earlier. Yeah. There's that you might have to have your children vaccinated. And, you know, I can tell you as someone who's both my children got the virus, it was nothing. I mean, I hate to say that. If someone's children died from this, I'm very sorry that that happened. I'm not in any way diminishing that. But I'm saying the personal experience that my children had with COVID was nothing. One of the kids had a headache. The other one didn't feel good for a couple of days. Yeah. Like maybe, I mean, not feel good. Like no big deal. No coughing, right. no achy, no like in agony. There was none of that. It was very mild. It was akin to them getting a cold.
Yeah. And you can have this thing where it's like you were saying this virtue signaling and this kind of like theatrical display of I get the vaccine. What a good person I am. I care about everyone. But you're like, look, my daughter's a lot younger than your kids. But I'm like, yeah, I'm not injecting my daughter with something to fucking virtue signal. Right. Like, I'm not doing that.
Right.
If there's something that she's of no risk, statistically has no risk from. Right. I'm sorry. I'm not taking any experiment on her in that. And that's my attitude.
But it's amazing that that's controversial.
Yeah.
That even saying that I'm not going to inject my child with the vaccine is controversial.
Yeah.
It's crazy because, again, we are not talking about even the flu that we just found out killed 22,000 people last year. We're not talking about that.
Right.
We're talking about something that is not statistically dangerous for children. But yet people still want you to get your child vaccinated, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, you should be vaccinated if you are vulnerable.
So there you go. Joe, and the funny thing about it is that all of the freaking out really proved Joe's point right there, where he goes out, this is insane that this is controversial. And he's absolutely right. You know, I've had actually a couple people who I went to high school with who reached out to me since seeing this viral clip. And one of them, who's a guy who I like, we were good friends in middle school, very good friends in middle school. And he reached out to me and he said at one point, He goes, you know, he's like, hey, you got to follow the science. And here's an article from The Atlantic, which is always funny because they just like assume that your starting point of knowledge is like absolutely nothing. Like, do you think I haven't heard the mainstream establishment COVID take yet? But he goes, listen, I understand what you were trying to get at, but I really think you should read this article and blah, 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 this. And I responded back and I said, well, you know, first of all, hey, good. How's your family? Good to hear from you. And I said, you know, I wasn't really trying to get at anything. I was stating a fact, which is that I will not be vaccinating my two-year-old. I am not giving my two-year-old some experimental mRNA vaccine for something that she is of statistically zero risk from. I'm just not going to do that. And it's interesting to see how people, you know, kind of respond to this. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is iTrust Capital. If you're paying attention to what's been happening with Bitcoin and digital currencies, you might be interested in investing. Investors who are investing in these assets with their retirement accounts are seeing amazing performances while not worrying about taxes. Just this week, the Chinese government said Bitcoin and stablecoin are viable investment alternatives. There's been a ton written. There's three new ETFs launched in Canada. Ethereum has outperformed Bitcoin significantly over the past 5 years and likely isn't stopping anytime soon. As you can see by the news each week, crypto is only getting more and more ingrained into everyday life. The smartest investors are investing with their IRA or 401k retirement accounts because that lets you avoid taxes. If you're interested in investing in crypto or gold tax-free, the easiest way to do that is iTrust Capital. All iTrust accounts are IRAs, which means you can invest and trade your crypto and gold tax-free on their 24/7 platform. If you have an existing IRA or another retirement account like a 401k, you can roll those over, no penalties, no taxes. iTrust Capital makes investing in crypto safe and easy. You can log into your account 24/7, invest at the push of a button, button. Now crypto can be traded as easily as stocks, no keys, no complex process. iTrust Capital also makes investing in physical gold and silver easy. iTrust uses a blockchain ledger that gives you digital ownership of physical gold held at the Royal Canadian Mint. So this isn't a security or a derivative or some financial construct. This is fully backed by physical gold that's deliverable upon request. And the best part, iTrust Capital has low transparent pricing that is 90% cheaper than their competitors. So if you're looking for an IRA to trade crypto or precious metals tax-free, go to itrustcapital.com, use the promo code POTP, and this is going to get you your first month for absolutely free. Plus, they're going to give you a free crypto IRA and gold IRA investor's guide. One more time, go to itrustcapital.com, use the promo code POTP for your first month for free, and you'll receive their crypto IRA and gold IRA investor's guide at no cost. Plus, if you want to learn a little bit more, I recorded a short conversation with the CEO of the company. He's a great guy. He was really interesting to talk to. It's up on the Gas Digital sponsor page, so go check that out and go to itrustcapital.com. One more time, that promo code is POTP. All right, let's get back into the show. Looking back at it, the part that really is what everyone's freaking out and jumping on is that Rogan had the balls to actually say, well, if someone asked me, if they were a 21-year-old who's healthy, I would tell them, you know, take care of your immune system. He gave them the scientific advice that you're not allowed to, even though it's much more sound scientific advice, which is like eat right, exercise, take care of your immune system, get lots of sun and vitamin D. That's what he told them to do, which if you are a 21-year-old and you do that, you are about as protected from this virus as you can be from any virus. That's just a scientific fact. So it's really, but what he, you know, had the balls to say was that, yeah, no, I don't think that makes sense for you to get vaccinated. I think it makes sense for the high risk people. Now people are going around calling Rogan anti-vax and all this shit when he literally opened it up by saying, I think people who are at risk should get the vaccine. I think it's great that we have vaccines. So I don't quite see how that's an anti-vax take. If you really are an anti-vaxxer, or if you were an anti-COVID vaxxer, you'd be pretty disappointed in what Joe Rogan said right there. Because he started by saying, I think they're great, and I think it's great for people who are at risk. I don't know. It's very weird. Like, there's, for all of the articles, for all of this stuff, none of them had a real argument against what he said. You know, they'd bring up things like, oh, he doesn't understand that you're actually protecting other people, and the stupid shit. Like, yeah, everyone understands that.
So they want to hide the fact that there's any risk in terms of taking the vaccines. Mm-hmm. And they want everyone getting these, and they want to say that it's just safe and effective. So they don't want to have a conversation of risk versus reward in terms of what age groups are not really at risk for COVID, and so maybe they shouldn't be getting the vaccine. Because they don't want to address the fact that this is a newer vaccine and perhaps somebody shouldn't be getting it. They want it to be just a given that it's safe and effective. And so since COVID is such a huge risk and the spread of it's such a huge risk, we need everyone to go get this thing. And there's no reason to even consider that there would be a downside to getting it.
Yeah. And man, we're really going to flirt around with getting this one pulled off the air. But fuck it. We got to talk about this. How can we not? It's literally what I'm trending in. But so, look, I mean, like in the Vice article, which, by the way, I appreciate Vice for, I was able to shame them into making a correction because they referred to me as a Republican comedian.
Why'd they switch it to Christian conservative for accuracy?
That's right. Excuse me. I am an alt-right neo-Nazi, Vice, please. Which I read the Vice article and I feel a little uncomfortable reading an article from a publication that once platformed Gavin McGinnis, but you know, I was able to get past that. They have some problematic associations, but I'm okay with that. I tweeted at them. That's what's nice about having a little Twitter follower. You know, I can tweet at them and be like, I ain't no Republican motherfucker. And then they're like, oh, we made a correction on the thing. Yeah, that's right. Make a correction. Now correct the rest of the dumb article. But so one of the things they said in the article was they go, well, you may say that this is not risky for kids. And of course, they can't make a statistical scientific argument that it is, right? So they say, well, you may say that this isn't risky for kids, but we don't know the long-term effects of COVID on kids. And you're like, oh, okay, well, if you want to play this game where even though there's no evidence at all that there's any negative long-term effects, but we just don't know because there just hasn't been enough time. Like, okay, okay. But then you got to also do that for the vaccine. There hasn't been any long-term studies of the vaccine because the vaccine is brand fucking new. And even look, these things, not that I put that much stock in the FDA, but these things aren't even FDA approved. They're approved under like the emergency statute, right? So don't give me if you're going to just say, well, even though there's no evidence, we don't know for certain the long-term effects, then fine. But if you'll notice, here's what none of these guys are doing. And this is where
With you're saying we don't know the long-term effects, they also don't know how long these things are going to last. So how can you pretend like you guys have a full understanding of this product and the safety and effectiveness of it when you don't know how often people are going to get it, how long it's lasting? And I'll just point out that they repeatedly said the line of safe and effective when people were fainting at sites and being rushed to the hospital. And then they temporarily took Johnson & Johnson off the market because of blood clots. All they had to say was safe and effective. Now, listen, I'm really not telling people don't go get the vaccine. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm just telling you that there's a ton of misinformation. And I think that you should have an internal conversation with yourself about the risk of the unknown side effects of these vaccines versus your risk of COVID.
Yes.
But them pretending like they have a full understanding of these things while at the same time going, I don't know how long this is going to be good for, makes no sense. That means that you don't have a full understanding.
This is exactly right. And I am not here to pretend to be a doctor, right? Like, I don't know the actual, like, how safe are the vaccines? How effective are the vaccines? I do not know, and I'm not pretending to. But I know bullshit logic when I see it. And I can see all of the contradictions in the establishment talking points right now. So I just look at it like this. If you're this is one thing that you're not going to see in any of these articles, in any of the outrage, right? Demonstrate, like, through real data that here would be the first step, okay? That a healthy kid is at more risk from COVID than they are from the vaccine. But it gets a lot more complicated than that, right? So that's step one. I don't think you can do that, to be honest. Now, I don't know. I'm open to someone really demonstrating that actually the chances of a young child, even though throughout this entire global pandemic, the number of children who do not have like major pre-existing conditions, who have been hospitalized or died from this virus, is statistically nothing. I mean, it's like the numbers are so low that, like, it's just like basically nothing. But if you could demonstrate in some real way that risk, which is basically statistically nothing for a kid that's healthy, is more of a risk than the risk from these vaccines, then I'd like to see that evidence. But even if you could produce that, that's not nearly enough, because now you got a couple other major hurdles to get through. Because it's not as if if I inject my kid with the vaccine, they 100% are getting the vaccine. If I don't, it's not 100% that they're going to get COVID, right? So now you'd also have to multiply by the chance that they get COVID, okay? So it's not just the dangers of COVID versus the dangers of the vaccine. It's the dangers of if COVID versus definitely vaccine. You follow what I'm saying on that, right? But now let me throw one more angle at you. How about what Joe Rogan said? His kids who have already had the virus, they've already had it. If there are these long-term effects that we don't know about, well, guess what? They already had it. They already have natural antibodies to this from actually getting the disease. So it's not that they have no immunity to it. How much immunity they have, I guess, is still debated. Some scientists think they have a lot. Some are skeptical about that. Some people go, well, but you still may not be immune to a variant. But then they'll also say, with the vaccine, you may not be immune to a variant, right? So there's all of these other levels. But so now what I want to see is anybody out there. And if you can make a compelling scientific argument, I will be all ears. And if it's compelling, I will change my mind on this. But you tell me that for a child, okay, a healthy child who has already had the virus and beat it, that there are more risks associated with maybe getting it again Now we're talking extremely low percentage chance that they get it again. It's well under 1% reinfection rate. Okay. A 1% chance that they get something with a statistically 0% chance that it does anything bad to them. That versus getting the vaccine. What are there more health risks for? Okay. I challenge anyone. You know, they can flag this video and take it down, but who can actually make an argument against that? Because I sure as fuck don't see it.
And to add to what you're saying, how many kids had COVID and they don't even know about it? So well, even in the condition thing. Where you don't know about COVID, you're still saying the risk of that my child didn't already have COVID might get COVID versus the risk of taking your yes. vaccine. And one more curveball on the vaccine. And I'm going to say a lot of things I have a pretty good understanding of. This one I don't have a full understanding of, so please go fact check me. When they report on these vaccines that like they're 95% effective, what they're talking about is your natural immunity plus the vaccine. Please go fact check me on this. I saw this in one article. It made sense to me. Haven't been able to do a lot of research on this. Go fact check it. Which really means that like if your natural immunity for a kid is like 80%, you're getting a 15% boost from the vaccine, which creates an entirely different calculation in terms of the risk versus reward mm-hmm. that we were just saying. So it was a 15% increase for a person that probably might have already had the virus, might not get the virus, can naturally, you know, beat it. Is that small percentage increase from taking this vaccine worth the unknown risks of taking a new vaccine?
That's a very good point. Very good point. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Sheath Underwear. Sheath makes the most comfortable boxer briefs I've ever worn in my life. They're the only underwear I wear at this point. I love them, and you will too. And if you're sick of boxers that are too loose or briefs that are too tight, Sheath is for you. Here's what makes Sheath unique. The stretchy fabric is made out of a moisture-wicking technology. They feel super soft, keep everything cool, comfortable, right in place. It's the perfect underwear for working out or being outside in the heat. I'll tell you, as soon as you pick up a pair of these boxer briefs, you feel them, you know this is high-quality stuff. The most unique thing about Sheath underwear is they have these dual pouches that keep your man parts separated and prevent things from sticking together. It's huge for working out, for being outside in the heat. I'll tell you, I was a little skeptical about the dual pouches at first, but it's a game changer. They're unbelievable. I've never been so comfortable in a pair of underwear. Also, if you're not interested in the pouches, it doesn't matter. You can just wear them like regular underwear, and they'll be the most comfortable pair of boxer briefs you've ever put on your body. Plus, the owner is a great guy, huge fan of the show, so make sure to go support them for supporting us. Go to sheathunderwear.com, get the most comfortable underwear you will ever own, and if you use the promo code PROBLEM20, you will get 20% off your order. That's sheathunderwear.com, promo code PROBLEM20 for 20% off your order. All right, let's get back into the show. Now I would say that here's the other level of it, right? Now, what they come at you with, which is always like kind of this, it's always laced with ad hominems. There, if you look at any of the articles, and I've seen quite a few of them, right? But they're always like this idiot Joe Rogan doesn't know what he's talking about or blah, 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 all this stuff, you know. And they're always very heavy on the insults and very light on the actual scientific argument. The Vice headline, right? The Vice headline, or at least what they tweeted out, what Vice tweeted was, this man has no idea what he's talking about. Now, of course, this is the same article that called me a Republican. So anyway, I mean, they did make a correction, but it's interesting that they're so I mean, it's not as if like, oh, they didn't do the research on me to find out that I'm a libertarian. It's like you didn't even listen to the podcast that you're criticizing. Is that really too much to ask? Like, if you're going to write an article about something that was said in this podcast for a big publication, shouldn't you listen to the podcast? Right? Like, I don't know. It's like that. It was like half the fucking episode. We were talking about the Libertarian Party and my plans for the future of it and all this shit. Right? So it doesn't seem like. So it's like they're very comfortable telling someone else they don't know what they're talking about. They cannot be bothered to do the minimum requirement for what a decent journalist should do, all right? So that's, to me, pretty embarrassing. But the thing they throw out, what everyone's saying, is, again, with this attitude of, like, no, idiot, because we've never thought about this, of course. We're not saying it's not just about protecting you. It's about protecting others. And that's why you need to get your kids vaccinated. Even if their risk is very low, this isn't just about you. This is about who you live with and who you work with and who you interact with and all of this. As if anyone with an IQ above 60 who's existed in the last year has not also thought through this. So let me respond to that argument with a couple things, okay? So number one, the thing that jumps out at me first and foremost is my perspective as a father, okay? So if you're telling me, and I think just about any parent can probably relate to this, if you're telling me that you can't answer the argument that I've laid out just a minute ago, you don't actually have an argument, so maybe this actually is riskier for my daughter's health, but will protect other people's health, right? I don't care. I don't care. I would never in a million years risk my daughter's health to protect other people's health. Like, I don't know where the fuck your values are at, but as a parent, what is paramount to me is protecting my children. That is what, if I'm making a medical decision for my children, it is singularly focused on what is best for my children's health. I'm not in this for the greater good of society. So to me, it's just a non-argument to begin with. But then you've got a bunch of other really big problems with this argument. Number one, according to Fauci and the CDC and all these other guys, they're not even telling you that getting vaccinated will stop you from transmitting the disease. So you're just that argument that you're protecting other people by getting vaccinated. Well, if that's the case, then when you get vaccinated, the thing should be there's no need to wear a mask. There's no need to social distance. There's no need to abide by any of these restrictions because you've protected everybody else. You can't spread it to them. But when it comes to that, when it comes to giving you your freedom, they go, oh, no. Well, you know, we're not sure. We're really not sure that you can't still contract and spread it to others. Really, the vaccination is just making sure that you don't get very sick and end up in the hospital. See? So when it's convenient, the official narrative is, no, this is just about protecting your health. But also when it's convenient, this is about protecting everybody else's health. So first off, I'm not doing anything to my kid to protect other people's health. Second off, you're not even telling me that this protects other people's health. Third, if you want to protect other people's health, tell those other people to get the vaccine. So I'm not injecting something into my kid to make sure other vulnerable people are protected from this. All of this is stupid. This makes no fucking sense. It's like it falls apart on its face, okay? It's like Joe Biden is wearing a mask on a goddamn Zoom call when he's been vaccinated. But what the fuck is going on here? This is all theater and virtue signaling. And like, no, I'm sorry. I will not take theater and virtue signaling into account about medical decisions for my children. What the fuck is going on in the world that even needs to be said? And as Rogan pointed out, like, can you believe this is actually a controversial position? It's just unbelievable. I mean, like, yeah, it makes no sense.
The WHO finally said if you've been vaccinated, you can go outside without a mask on in certain settings.
Right. That's right. As if
I tweeted today, but I'd love to see like a Project Veritas report of how the WHO people have actually been living over the last 6 months, because there's no way they've been following any of their own guidelines. Like, there was stuff as lunatic. I remember going back to Thanksgiving where it's like, you can shake the hand of someone you're living in your house with. It was, I don't know if that was quite what it was, but it was that ridiculous. Yeah. And even there's no way that they're standing by their own guidelines. There's no way.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, it's like, yeah, whatever. All of this is so ridiculous. And again, it's not the thing that's so bizarre to like see Rogan getting this shit for. It's not even like you would think at least like if he had said like, I don't believe the vaccines, or like, I don't think people should get vaccinated or something, but he didn't say anything like that. He's not taking COVID seriously. Every time I've done the show since COVID, they test you. He has like a nurse come in and give you those rapid tests, and that's, you know, that's that. But the truth is that they really have no thought out response to this guy. And one of the things that drives them crazy, and like I said, Tucker really caught his back before. I just retweeted somebody who was posting about this. But the thing that drives them crazy is that, you know, Tucker Carlson, here you have the biggest guy in cable news, and Joe Rogan, the biggest guy in podcasting, and they just can't. These are guys, and the thing, it's kind of ironic in a way, is that they want both of these guys to just bend the knee. You just repeat what we have told you the talking points are, right? But the irony is that the reason these guys are both so incredibly popular is precisely because they don't bend the knee. Like, it's this weird thing where you're, like, caught in this weird, like, kind of catch-22 where you're like, no, that's their appeal. So there's really no amount of pressure you can put on those guys to make them bend the knee, because that's why people want to listen to them. It's like, well, listen, we're going to make it much harder for people to listen to you unless you bend the knee. And it's like, yeah, well, if I bend the knee, then these people wouldn't want to listen to me. They love these guys because they will tell the truth even when it's going to lead to a Twitter mob. And so, yeah, good luck. Good luck doing it. You're not going to. So that's – thank God for that. Anyway – it's you know, they're really struggling here to figure out what exactly the narrative is. And if they were to have a consistent position here, it would be like, oh, you know, whatever, like the vaccine is 100% safe and everyone should get it. And therefore, once you get it, you know, you don't have to abide by any of the COVID restrictions anymore. But in that case, then they wouldn't have to push you to vaccinate your kids. They could just say, oh, no, well, if that's the case, then we can vaccinate the ones who are at high risk, right? And then that would take care of it. So they can't find a consistent logical thread here, because it will take away one of their talking points, no matter which one or the other, right? The other thing about this is that the whole justification for all of these COVID, you know, lockdowns and restrictions and all of this stuff was the super spreader phenomenon, right? The idea that you'd have these super spreader events where you can spread to all of these people. And they still use this at times where they go, hey, this is why you need to get vaccinated. Even though, again, that's contradicted by the other line, which is that they're saying, we're not sure that getting vaccinated means you can't still spread it to other people. So none of this makes any goddamn sense. But the truth is this, right? Almost half the adult population in America has been vaccinated, okay? Of the other half that has not been vaccinated, there's different estimates, some as high as 30 to 50% have natural immunity from getting the virus. So once you get to this position where somewhere in the neighborhood of 75% of adults have some type of immunity to this, the potential for super spreader events is really much, much lower. There's also absolutely no evidence that asymptomatic people can spread the virus. There's some indications that pre-symptomatic people can spread it, but that seems to be a very small percentage of the spread. And so what you're dealing with now is 75%, you know, give or take, somewhere in that neighborhood, 75% of adults having some type of immunity to this, and people spreading it when they have symptoms. Seems like a pretty easy solution there, then. Encourage the people who are at high risk to get vaccinated if they want to, and those who don't are comfortable taking the risk. And yeah, kind of encourage people, hey, if you're feeling sick, try to not mingle with people, which has always kind of been a good idea. But let's be a little bit, let's build up a little bit more, you know, social emphasis on like, hey, if you're sick, don't go into work. If you're sick, don't go hang out with people. And that's that. That should be that. It's literally all of this gets reduced to what the only logical conclusion is, which is that if you want to take the vaccine, go take the vaccine. If you don't, then you're comfortable with the risk. If you're sick, try not to mingle with people, and that's it. And it's completely reasonable for Joe Rogan to say, yeah, I'm sorry, if you're young and healthy and taking care of yourself and have a strong immune system, there's really no need for you to want to go take the vaccine. It's completely reasonable for him to say that. And it's really funny to watch everyone shrieking about it. Okay, so was there anything else? I feel like there was one more aspect of this that I wanted to hit on. Maybe I'll remember it in a second. Okay, so anyway, so on the topic of you know, censorship and this mass social outrage, I know that you, Rob, for people who don't know, Rob has another podcast that he hosts solo called Run Your Mouth, an excellent podcast. But it's a little bit harder to see the last episode of that. Isn't that true?
What an honor. YouTube took over, took off one of my episodes for COVID-19 misinformation. And just to understand the scope of censorship here, I mean, on YouTube, maybe 100 people are watching my show, so they really don't want that information being online in any capacity.
Oh, by the way, I think there's no way this episode isn't going to get taken down on YouTube. God damn it. Somehow we've managed to not get one taken down yet. I think the fact that they go away, like they go behind the paywall and we take them down quickly, kind of helps. They're not living there forever. But we're literally just going to talk about what got your episode taken down on this episode. Whatever. Well, let's do it.
They flagged it within 3 days, so they found it real quick. They took it down. You get an email from them just saying that they think you may have violated their policies. So right away, I went to fight it. I put on my suit. I got my two-lawyer briefcase.
By the way, we're going to title this episode, Everyone Should Get Vaccinated. We're titling this something that's going to do our best to throw them off the set. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So you went to fight this. I clicked the link to fight. It doesn't exist. It brings me to nothing.
Rob's old school. He went down to City Hall. How do I contest a YouTube ban? Like, sir, you're at the wrong place.
I'm outraged that City Hall is not going to hear my case against YouTube. But then I decided to actually take a look at their guidelines for what you are and are not allowed to say. And there's about four pages there of just different things that are not allowed to be said. But right up top, it says any claims that go against the official statements of WHO or local health officials.
Right.
And now, to be fair, I wasn't making any claims. I was questions and jokes. So just to look at the extent of YouTube censorship, any questioning of the official policy. And by the way, I was quoting mainstream articles that have come out recently showing some of the health risks of taking it. You're not even allowed to ask questions. I promise you, I'm not a doctor. I didn't get on and make claims. Yeah. Now, to their credit, I was saying that Johnson & Johnson kills women, but that is a factually accurate statement. Now, that might overstate the scope and risk of taking the vaccine, but it is factually accurate to say Johnson & Johnson kills women. If we had someone from Johnson & Johnson on a CEO stand, like on the stand right now, I could pull one of those senator moments, go yes or no, do you kill women? And if he said no, he'd be lying. I'm just telling you, the vaccine kills women. Might not be a lot of women, but Johnson & Johnson, factually accurate, it kills women. The other thing I was making fun of is they took Johnson & Johnson off of the market for blood clotting incidents. Mm-hmm. Now, what was creepy about them taking it off the market was there were 3 days where there were numerous events of people fainting, going to hospitals. For 3 days, they just said safe and effective, and then they pulled it from the market. Now, they pulled it from the market
and this is outside the CDC, but or the FDA or whoever officially pulled it, but the narrative going around it was like, you're crazy to question the vaccine. And then like the next day, they were like, we've pulled the vaccine. Now, let me just say on this, it did seem to me like from what I read, like it was an overreaction to pull the vaccine. So it was like, oh, there's 6 cases in like 6 million doses of something like that. Seemed a little bit nutty to me. This is why we shouldn't have an FDA. Like this seems crazy, to me. And the FDA has a long history of killing people by overreacting and pulling things off the market, or just taking 10 years to research something while people are dying, before they make it legal and all of this shit. So I'm not like supporting that, but it was very interesting to see. And it seemed like fishy. It seemed like, is there something more going on here that you're not telling us about? Because it seems weird that they would pull it off this. So you're crazy to question the vaccine. Then the vaccine's been pulled. Now the vaccine's back, even though nothing's changed.
And, well, no, you're wrong. They changed something. They put a label on it.
Yeah,
they had a serious considerations as to whether or not it's safe and effective, and they fixed that with a label. Now, how does a label actually change whether or not something's going to give you a blood clot? How does that actually change any aspect of it?
Well, it's just like cigarettes, which are safe now.
Right, because there's a label on it.
Smoke them. Yeah, it's fine.
So
don't pull this video. I didn't mean that. That was a joke.
But here's the other crazy part about so the people that were getting the blood clots, it's basically young female 30-year-olds. There was a Reuters article last week where they're starting to notice an uptick in heart inflammations, and the only thing that they can possibly correlate it to is the vaccines. Now, how many heart inflammation cases? I don't know. But the point is, they're just starting to notice. And now, of course, Pfizer's like, that's got nothing to do with us. Now, you got to understand, when you're looking at like massive, I guess, amounts of people that are taking this thing, how much time is there going to be before we can go, oh, shit, there's an uptick in this specific thing and it must correlate back to that vaccine because nothing else has changed within the society. Now, here's what's interesting. That's also among young, healthy 30-year-olds. Now, you almost have a good situation where people who are 50, 60, 70 and at risk for the virus, these vaccines might be great for them. Whereas in some other age groups where there isn't a lot of COVID risk, it would make sense to go, oh, maybe these people shouldn't get the vaccines. That's the kind of information you would have if you've actually run studies and have a full understanding of the vaccines, which you don't. Yeah. So once again, I'm not saying don't go get, have a conversation with your doctor. I'm not your doctor. I just look at this from what's the risk of taking this thing with unknown side effects versus the degree by which you're going to be made safe against COVID, which is a conversation you should have, you know, with yourself, do your own research or with the doctor. But the fact that what I had said got taken down as COVID-19 misinformation, especially when I'm not actually making health claims, just shows you the extent by which they're invested in full tech censorship.
Yeah, that's right. And that they'd even go, it doesn't matter like how big or how small your audience is. It's just like they want to crack down on this being said. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show. Thrilled to have them on board. Look, I know how much fans of this show love their guns. Here at Part of the Problem, we're all about making sure you can protect yourself and your family. And that's why I'm thrilled to tell you about SSP Eyewear. SSP Eyewear makes the best protective eyewear for shooting. They sent me the MetHow kit, and I have to tell you, they fit comfortably. There's different lenses so you can optimize visibility while shooting in different conditions. They're anti-fog. The frame is flexible and extremely durable. They actually ran it over with a truck, and it didn't break. These are high-quality lenses that are going to protect your eyes when shooting and improve your vision clarity. I'd like to get more gun stuff as sponsors, and this is the first one that we've had. So make sure you go support these guys. Make sure to support SSP Eyewear. And if you use the promo code POTP, you're going to get 20% off. So thanks one more time to SSP Eyewear for being the first firearm accessory to sponsor the show. Go check them out. Use the promo code POTP. That'll get you 20% off your order. There's also a link in the episode description. So go click on that. Promo code POTP for 20% off. All right, let's get back into the show. I think the one of the reasons that they might consider why this is people are saying things like this, and many people with huge audiences are saying things like this, is that the experts have lost all credibility over the last year. And so this idea of like, well, we'll just defer to what the official experts and the official institutions say is just not compelling to the vast majority of people at this point, because they've been wrong about so much. And I'm sorry, like, you know, this is and particularly as I talked about in the clip on Rogan that got all this heat, you know, it's a different thing to me when I'm talking about my 2-year-old. Like, I'm sorry, like, I am going to think these things through for myself, and I'm not going to, like, social pressure simply isn't going to affect that decision for me. You have Dr. Fauci saying that cases are going to shoot up in Texas when they reopen, and they don't. Cases have gone down, okay? And then his explanation is that, well, everybody's masking up and they're doing the right things, even though they're not this. Now, meanwhile, Jamie and Rogan, now I was there in Texas for a couple days, but they live there, so they're a little bit more, you know, informed about this. And they were like, just laughing at this. They were like, no, they're not. People aren't wearing masks. People aren't socially distancing. This is Texas, motherfucker. Like, no one's doing this shit. So, okay, so pretty clearly, Fauci was demonstrably wrong about his prediction. And it seems like he's wrong about his reasoning. So is it possible that the reasoning could be something else? Maybe it's something else that he doesn't know, right? Well,
also,
it seems like plausible that it is, in fact, that there's just more immunity out there than we realize, because we don't actually know for sure. And if that's the case, then that just makes the argument to be skeptical of getting vaccinated that much stronger.
Also, what kind of a scientist is allowed to make claims off of maybes? I thought the entire idea of science is that you can actually run experiments and find out with validity whether or not a theory is right. Like you and I, we're talking politics. Yeah, theories basically all you have. You can't really run the experiments. But when it comes to science, such as wearing one or two masks, not wearing a mask, wearing them outdoors, I would think there's plenty of experiments you can run to give yourselves the absolutes on what the policy should be. So if anything, you got this guy who keeps saying, hey, you got to listen to the scientists, but he also doesn't want to invest any effort into the scientific process.
Right. And as I was saying before, like, you have to, if you're going to be scientific about this, then you have to look at both ends of the equation. So like I said, with that Vice piece, if you're going to say, well, we don't know all of the long-term effects of COVID. I mean, look, that is reasonable. That's fair to say, right? This was a novel virus from last year. So, okay, we don't know all of the effects of COVID-19, the long-term effects, and let's pray that they're not bad ones. I mean, maybe they are. I don't know. But then you have to do the same thing for these novel vaccines, right? Like, they're all brand new. So that you can't just say one and not the other. And likewise, the idea that, like, well, I'm going to wear a mask as a symbol to show other people that they should take this seriously. And maybe if they see really, you know, important people wearing a mask in certain situations, that then they won't, you know, they'll be more likely to wear it or something like that. Like, you'll be a role model to them. I don't know exactly what the argument is, something along those lines. But what about the other side of the equation? What about the people who are irrationally over-concerned with COVID, right? Because that exists too. So what is Joe Biden, somebody who's fully vaccinated, wearing a mask on a Zoom call? Like, what about the other side of this? What about people, like, legitimately, like, not bad people, you know what I mean? Just like people who have been propagandized, who are literally living in a state of paranoia, you know, living their life in a state of fear over a germ, that are masking up in their own cars, that are masking up, you know, alone in a park. I mean, these people exist. We've all seen these people over the last year. What about them? What does it do for them to see the president wearing a mask on a Zoom call when he's been vaccinated? So to me, one of the most disturbing aspects of all of this outrage against what me and Rogan were saying in that clip is that it's like it's a completely unreasonable standard to judge somebody for. You're not so. Let me try to say this in the right way. If you are going to say, like, oh my God, you're such an evil person that you wouldn't get vaccinated for this and that you could then maybe spread this to someone else and you have to wear a mask and you never know you could hurt someone. Well, couldn't the same thing be applied to the yearly flu, right? Couldn't the same thing be applied to, like, so many other things? And the truth is that you will never, if you can shame someone for taking any amount of risk or a risk that could involve somebody else, I mean, like, yeah, every time you leave your house with the sniffles, anytime you jump into a car or do, you know, or shoot a gun off in public. Okay, that one's bad. But I'm just saying, like, right, aren't there lots of things that you could compare this to with this same logic? I'm not saying the factors are exactly the same, but the logic is exactly the same. And it's like, no, people have to be, like, the only reasonable solution is that people should be able to voluntarily make choices about their own health. Other people should be as informed as they can be about the risks involved in interacting with other people in society. And then, you know, you're either comfortable with the risks or you're not. And if you're really that uncomfortable with very small risks, let's get real. We're not talking about a huge percentage, you know, chance that you're taking here. Then it's on you to withdraw. Like, in the same way that, like, if you're uncomfortable with the risks of getting in a car accident, well, you can't then ban everybody else from driving a car because they could potentially be in a car accident with you, then it's on you. Then don't drive, walk, or whatever, you know, and take a horse and buggy, whatever the solution is. But there's this new, and it's really a gift to would-be authoritarians to say that, no, now we're going to condemn you for doing something that could potentially, no matter what the likelihood of that potentiality is, that could potentially end up negatively affecting someone else. This is, and with no sound logic or reason behind it. It's a fucking It's a goofy time to be alive, Rob Bernstein. Well, that being said, my Twitter's blowing up.
There you go.
So
it's hard to take anything any of the official narrative seriously when they kept us in our homes for as long as they did. They overplayed this as much as they could have. It seems like they want to move a lot of vaccine product. I don't know how anyone looks at this from a big picture perspective and isn't just a little bit nervous to just listen to them or want to follow their guidance.
Yeah, that is a really, really excellent point, man. I mean, they mismanaged this on every single level to incredibly, you know, with incredibly damaging results. And it's still, you know, like what we've come out of this with as a society is like so fucking unhealthy. Like even here you have Vice magazine, right? Okay, you guys want to be like investigative journalists or whatever? How about do a story on where's the big pharma profits from all of this? Can I see one story like really breaking down all the numbers and the details of how much exactly are Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson? What are they cleaning up off of?
Also, were these purposely designed in a way where you would have to get them multiple times a year?
Yeah.
Was there a different design? Because I've had some actual professionals in the field email me. I'm going to get us so pulled down. I'm sorry.
Let's just say, just even skip that part. Fine.
They're doing,
you know, the question
singular protein spikes to fuel you to be able to defeat the virus. From what I understand, there could probably be more loaded into these things so that they were effective on a longer term basis.
Yeah, that's it. Right. So how, like, a lot of these are reasonable questions to be asked. Again, I don't know what the answer is to a lot of them. But if you want to do a story, how about that? Like, let's really break down, like, holy shit, how much did Big Pharma gain off of this? What do they stand to gain from this being a yearly vaccination? What do they stand to gain from developing these boosters? All of these things. Where are the profits really going here? How much
of
this taxpayer money?
We love Big Pharma now. How funny is that? We love Big Pharma now.
Oh, yeah. No, that's exactly right. But no, what will they do? They will not do any pieces on that. They'll ignore all of the cronyism that's going on with this stuff. But they'll do attack pieces on a guy for speaking his mind, on a guy for just doing the biggest podcast in the history of the world, just sitting down there and going, I don't know. Yeah, I'd probably tell someone I don't think they should get this virus if they're young and you know, have a healthy immune system and are very low risk for this. That they'll go after. But the fucking big pharmaceutical companies, they kind of get a pass for all of this shit. So that's, you know, all that shit's important to keep in mind. And yeah, we'll see where all of this goes. Hopefully it keeps blowing up and more people actually listen to the full 3 hour long podcast, which, you know, I'm pretty proud of. And I think a lot of important shit was said on there. So that's how about that? Well, you know, now wouldn't you also think, like, just, I don't know, maybe this is like just me asking for too much. Like it's asking for too much for them to actually listen to the podcast that they're writing an article about. But how about also share it with the podcast? Wouldn't you feel some, like, if you had any like integrity, wouldn't you also be like, look, here's the entire podcast so you can put this into context and see what these two guys are saying? But no, they don't want to do that. We'll just quote you three lines in an article from a 3 hour plus conversation. All bullshit. Anyway, the moral of the story is you got to go support Rob Bernstein's show, Run Your Mouth, and also keep supporting this one because I am worried about this episode, man. Ooh, this one is, this one you might have to go over to gasdigitalnetwork.com to be able to enjoy, but we'll see. Hopefully not. That's the title for today's episode is Everyone Should Get Vaccinated. That's
smart.
Our title. Okay. Yeah, we'll be at Porkfest this summer. Me and Rob Bernstein, live stand-up show and a live podcast. I'll be hosting Freedom Fest for the entire week. Rob Bernstein will be at Childeberg. Check all that good stuff out. Oh, and in Washington at the LP Washington Convention, right? Look for all that stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon. Peace. All right, guys, thanks for listening to the show. Before we leave you, if you enjoy this podcast, you may also enjoy some of the other podcasts available at gasdigitalnetwork.com. This week, we are highlighting the Josta Show with host lead singer from the band Hatebreed, Jamie Josta. It's a great show. Jamie's a great guy. You can find the full catalog of episodes on demand at gasdigitalnetwork.com or catch the latest 15 episodes anywhere you find podcasts. Here's a quick clip from the show. Check it out. We love Jamie here at Part of the Problem, and the show is phenomenal. So check it out.
I had a great time hanging out with Jimmy Bauer once when I met him, and we got fucking handcuffed and sat on a curb outside of a bar together. That was great.
Why?
He was like talking to some girl. He came to an Eaton show. I've never met him, by the way. He's like in the back room, just like being Jimmy Bauer-ish. He's like, let's go to a bar. Me and you, let's fuck go to a bar. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to miss the opportunity to go to a bar, Jimmy Bauer. So we walk to this bar, like near the venue. He gets fucking hammered, starts hitting on a girl. The girl's boyfriend like kind of steps in. Jimmy Bauer says something to her, like super offensive. She slaps him, his fake teeth come out, and she fucking steps on him. So he like goes fucking full, like raging mad. And starts just like pushing the boyfriend and like just screaming. And so they called the cops, and me and Jimmy Bauer got handcuffed and sat outside. And then they just let us go. But I never saw him again either.
Oh my God. That's incredible.